This is HPR episode 1706 entitled Cross Compilers Part 1. It is hosted by Mike Ray and is about 27 minutes long. The summary is, what is cross compiling and why I might want need to do it.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hello, welcome to Hacker Public Radio. My name is Mike Ray, and you'll notice that I've dropped that corny Morse code at the start of the show. So, on with what I have to talk about today. Now, this was supposed to be a show entitled Raspberry Pi Version 2 First Impressions. I reserved the slot for 1706 a couple of weeks ago when the Raspberry Pi version 2 was announced, and I got hold of a couple quite quickly. I woke up on a Sunday morning without any clue that this was going to happen. I had no idea that the Raspberry Pi 2 was out, was going to be released. But I got up on Sunday morning, looked at my email, saw a few emails from the Surrey Linux user group about the Raspberry Pi 2, and immediately went to mod my Pi and ordered a couple. Managed to get in before they sold out. I think there's quite a lot of difficulty with actually getting any of these at the moment. The two Pis I ordered arrived Tuesday or Wednesday, a couple of weeks ago, two or three days after I ordered them, so I immediately started tinkering. At that time I reserved the 1706 slot because I thought, within a couple of weeks I'll have some things to talk about. But, yeah, like everything else, when I start doing one thing I get distracted and I go off at a tangent and end up doing something else, and that's true for this. How this occurred was that the Raspberry Pi 2 is a different ARM processor. Well, the original Raspberry Pi is an ARM Cortex A6 architecture, and the Raspberry Pi 2 is an ARM Cortex A7. So, in order to cross-compile a kernel, I needed another cross-compiler. Now, so we come on to the subject of cross-compilers. The title of this show is now Cross-Compilers Part 1. And I'm going to describe to you what cross-compilers actually are, why you might be interested in using them, or why, in fact, you might actually need to use them. It might be an imperative there. So, what is a cross-compiler? Now, as a Linux user, we're all familiar with the usual process of using the GNU tools, GCC, G++, LD, etc., to compile and link C or C++, possibly Fortran, on Linux to run on Linux. Typically, if you're sitting in front of, for example, a 64-bit machine, you're running x86-64 Linux, you're writing code or downloading code, you're compiling it on the x86-64 machine to run on the x86-64 machine. That's great. That's just plain old vanilla building, and everybody is familiar with the very familiar sequence ./configure/make/sudo/make install, and everybody will be familiar with gcc -o /program name /program name.c, which will produce compile and link program name from program name.c source code. So now, what do you do if you're writing code for a platform where there is no C compiler, possibly even no display of sorts, no console to log into, no keyboard, no text editor for you to hack away at your code? Supposing you're writing an embedded code for an embedded system, and of course Linux is showing up on lots of domestic devices now, lots of handheld electronic gadgetry. Now suppose you work for a company that makes kitchen appliances and your latest product is going to be a microwave oven which has an embedded microcontroller in it, which lots of machines now do, because building something complex with discrete components is far more expensive, far more complicated than using these wonderful little programmable chips nowadays. Now of course a microwave oven doesn't have a monitor, keyboard, editor, all the stuff I was talking about, so this is where you're going to need to cross-compile. And what cross-compiling is writing, compiling and linking code to run on an architecture on a different architecture. So for example, if your microwave oven has got an ARM chip in it, you may be using a cross compiler to write code on x86-64 Linux to run on the ARM processor on the microwave oven. So that's where the term cross compiler comes from. You're actually compiling on one architecture to run on another architecture. Now, the tools that we need for doing that are typically known as a tool chain. It's called a tool chain because it contains quite a bit more apart from just the C compiler. There's the compiler, C libraries, other libraries that are needed by the tool chain, the linker, and other familiar new GNU tools like AR, RANlib, etc. So this is a cross-compiler tool chain. Building a tool chain involves actually compiling a compiler, which is quite a tricky task, and it involves compiling bin utils, stuff that all the C libraries, etc. So it's quite a tricky business. Luckily there is a fantastic tool which I found called CrossToolNG, which I'll go into in a minute. Now this is slightly out of the correct order, but to talk about why I got into this cross-compiling business and why I was distracted from actually evaluating the Raspberry Pi 2 to get into the business of cross-compiling. You can actually download a cross-compiler toolchain from the Raspberry Pi Foundation, from Git, from GitHub, but unfortunately it only runs on a 32-bit environment. So if, like me, you have a 64-bit PC running 64-bit Debian, the Raspberry Pi Foundation toolchain will not function. So then I got into trying to run a virtual machine using VirtualBox and something called Vagrant, which is sort of a virtual machine management tool, if you like. And then of course the Raspberry Pi 2 came along, so I needed an ARM Cortex A7 cross compiler, and the only ones I could find online for download were 64-bit So I'd created a 32-bit virtual machine, Ubuntu Precise 32-bit, using Vagrant and VirtualBox, and then I tried to create a 64-bit virtual machine, because when I tried to use the cross compiler that I downloaded on my 64-bit Debian machine, the C libraries I have were not up to the version required, and I wasn't prepared to mess about updating C libraries on Debian Wheezy just to get the cross compiler to work. So that is when I looked further into CrossTool NG, which I'd sort of already used, but I now had a greater degree of urgency to actually get to use it and to build a pair of toolchains, one for ARM Cortex-A6 and one for ARM Cortex-A7, so that I could compile for both the old Raspberry Pi and the version 2. Now, I think also ARM Cortex-A7, I think, will also compile for Banana Pi, but that's another story. So then I started looking around for information about configuring the build for the toolchains. Now, CrossTool NG is quite easy to configure. Now, the show notes, by the way, are very comprehensive, or the HTML version of the show notes are very comprehensive, tell you all about how to install CrossTool NG and how to configure it. It's very clever. If you've ever done a kernel compile, you'll be familiar with the .config file, which you need in order to set up a compile and to pick all of the right settings, modules, and kernel modules, etc., before you actually build a kernel. And there is a tool called menu.config, which you can run, which gives you an ncurses screen to make adjustments to this config file. Now, Klaatu did an excellent show about compiling a kernel, so I'm not going to dig too deeply into that, but suffice to say it'll be familiar to you if you've ever set up for a kernel compile. The CrossTool NG's configuration tool will be very familiar. Accessibility is not fantastic with ncurses, and as I can't see, I struggle a little bit with ncurses applications, so I then went looking for online to see if anybody had already done what I wanted to do, and fantastically I discovered on the Arch Linux ARM site that there is a set of .config files for CrossTool NG. There's actually three of them: ARM Cortex-A5, ARM Cortex-A6, and ARM Cortex-A7. So I downloaded the A6 and A7 configs and used them to drive a build of a pair of toolchains. I need to talk now about something which really screwed up my head when I first started looking at cross-compiling, because there was a piece of information I was missing. And it was one of these things where you constantly look online and Google for the answers to the questions, and you never find it. And you start to think, all of these blogs and all of these tutorials that I've read and I can't find the answer, is it something which is so obvious that all of the authors of these pages think they don't have to mention it? And if so, why is it taking me so long to find the answer? I mean, is there something, you know, am I stupid? Am I doing something wrong? And the question was, how do I tell the cross compiler when I'm building code on my Linux machine to run on my Raspberry Pi where to look for the libraries which it will need to include in the software? For example, if I'm compiling something that I've written and it needs, for example, pthreads. Pthreads is a very common library. I can't link in the pthreads library that I'll find under user lib x86-64-GNU because that's x86-64 code, so that won't work. So where do I put the library, the ARM version of the library, so that it will be found by my cross-compiler? And the answer is something called sysroot, S-Y-S-R-O-O-T. Every GNU tool, certainly GCC and LD, has internally set a sysroot. And what this is a value which will be a string path which will be prepended to any search paths for libraries. Now if you do on your Linux machine, just type gcc space dash print dash sysroot, you'll probably get back either as just a slash or an empty string, because there is no, sysroot is root on the native platform. But if you have a cross compiler toolchain built, then the sysroot will be somewhere deep within where you've installed the cross compiler toolchain. And this is something which actually caused me a problem when I first built a toolchain, because I built it in a directory under my home directory and then I moved it, because I like these things, toolchains, kernel source, etc., to be under slash opt. Now when you generate a toolchain, the sysroot gets hard-coded into GCC and LD and other tools, and if you move the toolchain it will then be wrong. There is a switch dash dash sysroot equals blah 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 which will allow you to set the sysroot, but you don't want to have to do that each time. You certainly don't want to have to do that if you're doing standard builds, dot slash configure, make install, etc. So it's important to, when you're using cross-tool ng to build your toolchain, to actually build it and install it where it's going to live for the rest of its life, which in my case was slash opt slash toolchains slash ARM v7 for the ARM Cortex A7 toolchain. A little bit about, I'm sort of doing this in slightly chaotic order, but a little bit about compiling the kernel for a Raspberry Pi. This will give you a good demonstration of why you might want to cross-compile. When I first started fiddling about with Raspberry Pis, I compiled a kernel on a Pi, an original 512 megabyte Model B Pi, and it took 15 hours. So I thought, I don't want to do that again. So then I cross-compiled, originally using the Raspberry Pi Foundation cross-compiler toolchain, and on my quad-core machine, which is 1.4 gigahertz clock speed, which is not mega-fast, and it's got 8 gigs of RAM, the kernel compile took 15 minutes. So from 15 hours to 15 minutes. What's that? I could do 60 kernel compiles in the same length of time. It's ridiculous. You can't, that's a very, very extreme example, but you wouldn't want to spend your life compiling a kernel on such a slow machine as a Raspberry Pi, when with a little bit of effort and help from a cross-compiler toolchain, you can do it much, much more quickly. There is another type of cross-compiling activity which I will describe here for the sake of completeness. I've not had to do this, and I might have a go at doing it just for the experience, but this is called a Canadian build cross-compile. And what it is, and you'll have to be patient and think carefully here, because it's quite complicated. Well, it's more complicated than a straightforward cross-compile. Suppose you wanted a cross-compiler which would run on Windows to create and to compile and link code to run on a Raspberry Pi, but you're going to create and build that toolchain, that cross-compiler toolchain, on a Linux x86-64. So there's three things involved. Linux x86-64 to make the toolchain, which will run on Windows, which will compile and link code to run on another platform like a Raspberry Pi. Three things. This is called a Canadian build, and the reason it's called a Canadian build, apparently, it's quite interesting, is because at the time that that name was coined, the political landscape in Canada was dominated by three political parties, so some clever person termed it as a Canadian build. Now, as I said, I've never had to do that. I can't think why I might have to do that, although I might have a go at doing it with CrossTool-NG just for the sake of finding out how to do it. It might be quite good fun. On the other hand, it might be a total brain-aching experience. A few comments about the show notes. I've created a HTML version of the show notes because they're 12 kilobytes. 12 kilobytes of show notes. Pretty comprehensive. Tells you all about why I've been doing this stuff, about how to install CrossTool-NG on Debian, about how I configure where the CrossTool-NG tool will live and where the toolchains will live, and gives you details about why I've been doing this. And there's a bunch of links in there. There's links to Klaatu's kernel compile show, which was pretty good. Links to CTNG, CrossTool-NG, Vagrant, VirtualBox, Arch Linux ARM, Raspberry Pi website, etc. So loads of links, loads of stuff. There's also a .tar.gz file which contains the two .config files for ARMv6 and ARMv7, which I grabbed from Arch Linux ARM website and tinkered with to install the toolchain where I wanted it. And all of that is documented in the show notes. So if you just install CrossTool-NG the way I did, use the configuration files that I use, you should be able to end up with a cross-compiler toolchain which will work, and you should be able to compile code for ARM Cortex-A6 and ARM Cortex-A7, both types of Raspberry Pi. Audio. Since my last show, I've cranked down the microphone gain a little bit, so hopefully my sibilants are not splitting your head wide open every time I say a word that begins with S. I listened back to the recording so far and it sounds much better. I'm going to do a part two to this, and that will be setting up for an actual Raspberry Pi kernel compile using the cross-compiler toolchain that we built, which I built, which gave rise to this show. So that'll be in a while, building the Raspberry Pi kernel on an Arch Linux desktop, not an Arch Linux, an x86-64 desktop machine, cross-compiling the kernel to run on a Raspberry Pi. So there we go. And in the next few days I will possibly get round to doing that Raspberry Pi 2 first impressions show, maybe.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hecker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.